Hello, welcome to As We See the Day Approaching. Today's March 31st, 2023, and Brother Andrew and I are back today to continue our discussion about how to hear from God. And I might say how to hear from God yourself, right? That's what we all are seeking. But before we go any further, let me go ahead and ask the Lord to be over everything spoken and heard today. Father in heaven, we praise you again for being able to come together today in this format to be able to share your word. My brother and I ask that a guard be put upon our lips, that we speak nothing of our own self, that you speak to your people today, Father. And we bind the hand of the enemy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there be no hindrances to the going out of this message, as well as the receiving of this message by your people. Father, may your will be done here today. Have your way, Father God. And we pray all this in the name, above all names, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, during our last time together, I spoke about the gifts of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10, and specifically focused on, we began by focusing on the discerning of spirits and how the ability to recognize or judge well is what that basically entails. The ability to recognize or judge well. We spoke of ways discerning of spirits. Spirits is used, how Jesus warned his disciples about the major deception, right, coming upon the world just before his return. He talked about that in Matthew 24 when he said, take heed that no man deceive you. That was the number one thing Jesus warned about, was deception. And we spoke about all the ways the enemy tries to get in to infiltrate in order to deceive us. Ephesians 5. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. And we talked about how false prophets obviously are sent by the enemy to deceive. And 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 talks about deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Okay, we talked about the devil having his agents and how he sends them to infiltrate churches, Bible studies, prayer groups, marriages, friendships. You can just fill in the blanks. But what about you listening to this message? As a Christian, the devil will come to you and me to try to tell you things as if they're from God through all kinds of avenues, through people. Maybe you'll have a dream, you know, your own thoughts, hear words. Andrew and I both, we hear so many things about how someone saying, yeah, the Lord told me this or that or the other. If you're a Christian, these words or these avenues that the enemy uses, it's going to seem so good. It's going to look so good. It's going to look great, sound great. You know, how will you know the difference? How do we know the difference between the devil and God? I mean, he dresses it up. Just came to me right now how we're told how the enemy is going to dress it up so well and during the tribulation and such, and the deception is going to be so great, he's going to deceive the whole world, it says, and even the very elect, if that were possible. It's huge that we know the difference, that we recognize the voice of God, that we have that discernment to recognize when it's not. I can go ahead and answer that question. How will you know the difference? I can say flat out that unless you have a close, intimate relationship with God, you're in danger of deception. You and I are in horrible danger. Without intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ, our rock, our anchor, we're not standing on solid ground. The number one goal of every Christian should be establishing and maintaining a close, intimate relationship with your bridegroom. We all know communication is the key to every good relationship, right? Matter of fact, think of this. When I said establishing and maintaining, I don't know how many of you might be married or contemplating marriage, or you're dating and you're thinking of marriage or whatever. I'd known many in marriage that it's wonderful in the beginning, and all of a sudden you quit communicating as much. You kind of just drift away and you became kind of like roommates, right? That intimacy is gone. You don't share things with each other like you used to do. You know, if you have a close relationship, you're going to be taking everything to each other, talking things over. You're going to be communicating back and forth. The first one you want to tell news to is your bridegroom, running to the love of your life, right? And he will tell you things you need to know. Everything we need to know, all the things that you desire, all the questions you have, they all are in that secret place of the Most High God behind the veil. It's open. Jesus rent it, and he's asking us to come in. But let me say this before going further. I want to share a very personal testimony about this. But the enemy's established hindrances in his attempt to limit how close you can get to God. He has all these traps, all these snares laid out. So we just want to establish some things here. Just relationship, number one, that solid foundation with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the number one thing. And then we need to take a look at the hindrances that might be out there. I just want to bring this forward today, okay, that he tries to limit us from getting close to the Lord, you know. And I shared this story, that, and this is a true story of what happened to me. I shared it back in September of 2019 on the website, themightyhandofgod.com, and it's called The Devil's Hiding Place, in case you want to go and read the entire thing. But right now, I'm just going to take out a few excerpts and then proceed. Okay, now what I'm going to share, it's something very personal, but the Lord did show at the time it greatly affects the body of Christ. So let's just take a look at this again here. Many, I know Andrew has it, all of us, if you're having much to do in counseling or just sharing and ministering to other people, they want to know. I want to know. You want to know. How can I experience greater intimacy with God? You know, I want a close and personal relationship with him, but I don't know what to do. You know, I've studied, I've prayed, but it seems he doesn't hear my prayers, and I feel so lonely. Somebody just told me this yesterday. So I'm going to share what the Lord's shown about this. It was several years ago. This is way back. I'm going to guess right here. I know it might have been in the article, but I'm going to guess that it was maybe 2012, thereabout. God woke me up in the middle of the night, and he told me to sit up in my bed. Now, I had a pretty close relationship. I knew when he woke me up, when it was him, I would lay there, and here I am, Lord. And he said, sit up. So I'm sitting there, and after a while, he asked, what do you want? I mean, I'm telling you, I was stunned to be asked by the Lord, what do you want? And it was just a normal question, like my best friend was just sitting there asking me a question. I had no idea what to say. I really didn't. And he asked me the question three different times. He kept asking me. And the third time, I finally said, I just want to know you and be known by you. That was it. And the Spirit just, you know, that was it. You know, I was released and I laid back down and I went to sleep. And I just kind of thought about it, you know, many times through the years. I thought about it and thought, what's that about? I even asked him, what was that about, Lord? And, you know, I even said, wow, I felt so silly. That was all I said. I just want to know you and be known by you. I thought, wow, can I have a do-over? I just thought, well, that sounded, what did that sound like to God? But a few years ago, I was praying over the phone with a friend, and he's very prophetic. It was just a very mighty man of God. And we were praying about things, and oftentimes praying in the spirit. But now let me tell you first this, what happened first. Okay. I was praying. There were two really, really close friends that they didn't know each other or anything, but very prophetic. And the first time it was with a woman, and she and I were praying and praying, and she regularly receives like word of knowledge and understanding as she prays in the spirit. Out of the blue, she began telling me what she had received while praying. She said, "Diana, I saw you dressed in a beautiful white garment, but then I saw your heart. All of a sudden your heart was there, and there was this small black dot right in the middle of it." And guys, when she was telling me this, she said, "I see this black dot, and I'm getting the word fear, and I'm getting the word intimacy." Those two words, Diana, what could it be? Are you afraid of intimacy or something? I don't know what that means. You know, at first I was shocked. Basically, one of my very dear friends was telling me that my heart was flawed. I didn't even know how to respond. You know, that it contained some kind of dark spot in there. She said it was real small, but the Holy Spirit immediately bore witness that it was true. Okay. That the words fear and intimacy, and I didn't know the fullness of it. I just thought that was resonating. Fear of intimacy. I kind of knew it. I kind of knew it, right? Because it pointed me in the direction of my past, where there were several traumas, several traumatic experiences from my childhood and even into my adult life that caused a lot of pain and sorrow. Any of you out there can identify with this. It's obvious how these things, you know, could cause one to have a fear of intimacy, you know, and I realized that it must be so hidden in me, this hidden fear from me, because I hadn't even been aware of it, that I had a fear of intimacy. I had no, it hadn't come to the forefront of my mind, my understanding. So I prayed and I asked the Lord to show me whatever else I needed to understand about the matter. Then I just kind of filed it away. You know, I thought, well, you know, everyone has hurt and pain. All of you that I'm talking to, you all have hurt and pain, right? To one degree or another from the past. And I thought, well, God knows all this. He'll heal me. You know, he'll heal me if there's still hidden pain, even down to the removing of the scar tissue, right? That remains in our heart. And little did I know that this was just the tip of the iceberg. About a week later, I was praying with the other friend I was telling you about. He operates in various gifts of the Spirit. And at the time, we were standing in the gap. We were interceding on behalf of the saints, like worldwide, the body of Christ, and then the various ones that had specifically asked for prayer, you know. And on this particular occasion, I remember I was led high in the spirit and I was looking down. It was like, this was like a spiritual vision, if you want to call it that. But I was high in the sky, in the spirit, where I was flying over the surface of the earth. And I watched like from a bird's eye view as the Lord, he was sending light and peace and encouragement to his people. And then after a while, my friend asked me, he said, "Diana, where did you go?" And then he explained how at a particular point during prayer, he had sensed that I'd stopped and held back. In other words, I was no longer with him in it. And that the Holy Spirit, he said, the Holy Spirit wanted to do more with our prayer. But let me know, Diana, that that's as far as he could take us. You held back. You stopped. So I really didn't know what to think about it. But a couple days later, this same individual said that God showed it to be something in my heart holding me back. We were on the phone talking, and he said, "Oh, remember when, you know, we were praying the other day?" He goes, "I was praying. What was that, Lord? What was that? Why did she all of a sudden abruptly stop. And you said that's as far as you could take us, because I guess I was hindering the whole prayer. He said he showed it to be something in your heart, Diana, holding you back. When he said that, I was shaken to the core, because this was the second time in 2 weeks that I'd been told by individuals who I knew were mighty spirit-led warriors of God that something in my heart was hindering and holding me back in some way. And I began to cry on the phone with him. I began to weep, you know, and the tears were flowing. And I began repenting to God for holding back anything from him and asked to be shown what it was. You know, and suddenly my friend said, "Diana, what do you want?" Wow. When he said that, I said, "That's the same question God asked me years ago. And my answer is still the same. I only want to know him and be known by him." And my friend said, "Stop, wait, stop. Don't answer this question from your head. Go to the very depths of your being, Diana, your heart, your soul, for the answer." So I just got quiet. And then it was like a candle lit up inside of me. A light came on. It's kind of like I saw it in the spirit, and it was a light, and it started exposing the inside of my heart. And then the following words began to pour forth. Here's what I said. "My entire life, my greatest desire has been for someone to care enough about me that they would want to get to know me, to really know me, and that they would open up and allow me to really know them." Guys, as soon as those words left my mouth, the Holy Spirit said, "This is also God's desire." Wow. His desire is that someone would care enough about him, have so much love for him, that they would want to get to know him intimately, and that they would, you and I, would allow him to know us, that we would open up and allow him to really get to know us. That is also God's desire, and he's put it in you and me. And then I saw it. You know, that black dot was a blockage in my heart, and it was only allowing God to go so far, you know. And from what was already revealed, I knew it contained pain and trauma. But what was puzzling is, how could all this still be in my heart at all? After all these years, I thought I'd already given everything over to God. But what God showed me next completely shocked me. To have intimacy with God requires that we enter into the secret place mentioned in Psalm 91 to commune with him. This place is the inner chamber, the bridal chamber, which was represented, you know, in the physical temple as the Holy of Holies. We know Satan counterfeits the things of God. The Lord showed he also has a secret chamber that he's set up. From the time you and I were born, the devil's worked to construct a secret place in your heart. It's a well-hidden fortress with impenetrable walls. And that's the devil's hiding place. And from that place, he seeks to commune with you. From that place, that secret place, that fortress inside your heart that he has built up these walls, it's in this place he communes with you. All your secrets, all your trauma, your pain, your guilt, your shame is there. Even though we may not be mentally conscious of it, we're not conscious of that place, it acts as a barrier to the intimacy with God and other humans. And other humans that we so desperately desire, that intimacy, it's hidden so well, only the Holy Spirit can lead you to it. And after the revealing of the black dot in my heart, I cried out to God. I said, Lord, what am I to do? What do I do? And I received that I needed to spend a lot of time before the Lord, asking him to show me this place. Only God can tear down and destroy the fortress of the enemy within our heart. Our part is to be willing to bring everything before him. And we just hammer it out. We hammer those prayers out into fine powder, you know, leaving nothing out. We go before him in full confession. Don't try to hide it. Don't dress it up or disguise your sin. Speak openly. Don't be vague, you know, when repenting, saying, oh, Father, please forgive me for my sinful thoughts and actions today. No, what were they? What'd you do? Don't dress it up. Just be transparent. Call it what it is and discuss them with your Father. Ask him to show you what you need to see. And he'll show you these things, these places that you still have, whether it be unforgiveness or this or that. Or he began to show me situations and things that would come about and the enemy would use. It would trigger a memory here or there. And it was like pushing buttons. When he shows you these places, you plead the blood of Jesus over them. Ask the grace of God be extended and applied to you to be set free of the chains of bondage. He wants us to understand our deepest desire for intimacy with him is also his desire, you know, to fully know him, to be known by him. We must become one with him. Oneness is obtained through that open communication with nothing standing between you and God. We must go before him and ask him to reveal anything still in there, to shine his light into the fortresses of the enemy that have been built up, if they're there. And he did one by one. And I'm not saying there's not any left. I just haven't been shown them yet, you know, but as he shows things, and he will, because let me say this, every step you take closer to God, because he says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Just know this, every step you take closer to him, more must be burned up, more flesh. Because nothing unclean, impure, nothing dirty can stand before him. He must burn it up. So he's going to expose things and it's not going to be pretty. Sometimes it's going to shock you when you see this or that was still in you. I just want to share that for today because I really believe that's the foundation. Let me just read a few scriptures. Genesis 2, verse 25. And the man and his wife were both naked. They were not ashamed. So let's get naked before God. Let him just strip us bare. And let's just be real with each other. He can be real with us and us with him. Isaiah 1 verse 18 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be as wool. Luke 8, 17, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Ask him to do it. Ask him anything secret that the devil has in you. Because remember what Jesus said when before the devil came to get him, and he said to his disciples that the devil was coming. He says, but he has nothing in me. We need to get to that point where the devil has nothing in you. He can't push any more buttons. He can't trigger this memory or that memory or this or that. The blood of the Lamb has already been placed over that. It no longer exists. John 1 verse 5 says, and the light shines in the darkness. The darkness didn't overcome it. No, it overcomes the darkness. The scripture I was saying, John 14 verse 30, he says, I will no longer talk much with you. He says, for the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. As the bridegroom was able to say that, he's going to bring us to the same place. She must drink of that cup and be able to say the same thing. He is coming. The ruler of this world's coming. He has nothing in me. Praise the Lord. Andrew, I know you have some awesome things to share, and I'm going to go ahead and turn the mic over to you.
Wow. I'm so grateful and blessed to hear all of that. And I've read a number of the things that God has placed on your heart and spoken through your lips or scribed through your pen and your fingertips, but I don't think I heard that story about the black spot. That's powerful. And, you know, Diana, even though we talked before we jumped on, I realized I think all of the things that he had given me prayerfully to prepare to contribute, I'm going to start with one of them that I had at the beginning that ties into everything you just said. And then I think I'm throwing the rest aside for a minute and just going with the flow, because you nailed it. Intimacy is the key to hearing. And heart condition is the key to hearing. I don't think there's any better way to encourage our brethren, wherever they're at, than Revelation 12, 11, testimony, overcomer testimony. And that's what you just shared in that powerful story. I'm going to definitely pull up that entire thing that you typed and read it before today or this weekend is over. Let me go to where I was going to jump in, and it ties to everything you spoke about. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. And this is the ESV version. Sometimes I jump around from King James, New King James, ESV, Amplified. It just kind of depends. But I think it says it pretty straightforward and well. And he's talking to his children, with the children of Israel in the Old Testament. Every bit of their journey out of Egypt into the wilderness, crossing the Jordan, all of that. We've got to remember, not only did they go through it in so many different ways, but it's a picture of our lives today, right? There's nothing new under the sun, and heart condition was everything for them. And what he said beginning in verse 8, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 12, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Oh boy, can I share a testimony to give a double witness? And I've shared this testimony. I'm going to try to make it as brief as I can, but give it justice. I've shared it one or two times, one time a year ago, roughly. It just happened with two other ministers and something we were doing in a live recording or broadcast, whatever you want to call it. Unfortunately, that did not get recorded. If it had, I would have saved it. But it's in my heart. Why? Because I had a moment, too. And I think it weaves together perfectly with what Diana shared, and we're all on different spots for our walk. Many who are listening today, everyone has a testimony. We're all in different places, but those different places all correspond to heart condition. I am definitely qualified to speak about that subject to some extent physically and spiritually, because in my walk, he's just used the heart literally and physically and spiritually in four or five different things over 25 years to show me the matters of his heart. And so, in essence, I just know that I need to share this here. It was 2013, when I was flipped out of the muck and the mire, delivered, hit my knees at the end of a 3.5-4 hour meeting with two amazing servants of the Lord. And at that moment that I hit my knees, I then went prostrate on the ground, weeping, letting the King of Glory know that I had let him down. And my heart entered that condition that Psalm 51 speaks about, of brokenness and contriteness. And at that moment, the Spirit of God just came in and wrapped himself around me in a blanket of love and comfort. And I knew that the rest of my life was now being made new. And from that point, and prior to that, I had gone through some crazy stuff. A Matthew 18 testimony, which is the parable of the unforgiving servant, which I had been buried in that. The tormentors were loosed. I went through a 12-month demonic battle that was a testimony that could make a book, but I haven't been led to write that part of my life. The thing is, he brought me through and out, delivered me of bitterness and unforgiveness, cleaned me up of a whole lot of other things. I had that moment where I hit the ground and wept, and my heart was broken and contrite. That was my true born-again moment. I had confessed him with my lips at age 9 in a little Christian school. I understood that doing that and believing the gospel, that his death and resurrection was real, and confessing that, it did seal me by the Spirit until the day of redemption. But in between 9 years old and that moment on the floor weeping, I had a roller coaster life and ride that was Laodicean at very best, and a huge battle of the flesh. And many of us can relate to that. So anyway, after that great moment, he plugged me into this true fellowship to be equipped and discipled by an amazing man of God and a spiritual family, including power sisters, training me up, teaching me how to pray, teaching me how to intercede. I joined and plugged into all of that full force. And literally in this part of my transformation from the old man to the new, I just was seeking him diligently, right? And the word says, you know, he's a rewarder of those who seek him diligently. I was surrendered. I was submitted. You know, everybody says on the one scripture in James, resist the devil and he will flee. And that's true. But that preceding sentence, submit to God, you know, so heart condition is also about submission, because without it, we can't come to the end of ourselves. Those walls, Diana brought it up, scar tissue, the same as walls. So that's what I'm getting to. Fast forward to later that year, I'm up at the fellowship at this small remnant church, and the man of God is preaching up a storm. And at some point, he brought up the greatest command. And I had read it numerous times in the past. I knew what he was going to talk about. But at that moment that he read it, and I'm pulling up Matthew 22, 36 to 40. It's also in Luke and some of the other gospels. But they were trying to trip him up. They were trying to ask him questions, the Pharisees, Sadducees, the lawyer guy. And in 36, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love your Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And basically what happened with me at that moment, that time, the Spirit of God was in the house. He rose up within me as the man of God shared the greatest command. It pierced me to the core of my being. I was submitted. I was surrendered. I was being raised up and equipped in the word, in prayer. All these wonderful things were happening. I had been so delivered of so many things only by the power of God, because I used to be one of his most stubborn kids ever to walk this planet. And God confirmed that with me one time. So he had done a lot is my point, right? But this word came alive and convicted me, because just like Diana's phone call, where they said, Diana, this spot, well, what I discerned were my own walls of stone that were still there, even though so much had happened in the last year of fiery trial. I knew that Jesus, Yeshua, was my commander in chief. I'm following him. I'm submitted. I'm sold out. I'm seeking diligently. But I did not know how it was going to be possible for me to love him and the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, and with all my mind. I had to be obedient to the greatest command. I was so convicted, but I knew, like Diana touched on in my past and over many years, and from, frankly, even inside the womb, and the specifics of that, rejection numerous times, pain, trauma here and there, all these things she touched on. These walls were still there. All I know is I started praying instantly and silently, of course. I didn't want to interrupt the man of God, but I'm crying out. I'm like, you're going to have to do something. I want to obey the greatest command, the red letters. What I just heard came alive. I can't do it. I don't know how. Do something. You've got to tear down these walls, please. And we left that day. You know, one thing in that part of my walk, I really had a heart for intercession. And I was learning a lot by the Spirit of the Lord helping me. And my daily dive into that was very significant and amazing. And so a couple weeks later, fast forward, I had set aside time to press in, and I did, and I interceded. And all I remember is that day, it was so intense and good. And I was interceding for some heavily afflicted people who I cared about. There was some warfare going on in some of those prayers, but I'll never forget, because at the very end, I'm getting ready to wrap it up. And suddenly, instantly, everything changed. It was like a light switch. It was flipped. And the power and the presence and the glory of the living God, Jesus Christ himself, was in my space. I had never experienced it before. It was so overwhelming. My head started to spin and my heart was jumping around in a good way. And I was freaking out. I had totally forgotten about 2 weeks earlier or anything else. I just was washed and overwhelmed with his presence and power and thinking, what is he doing here? You know? And I knew he was in front of me. And I started to think about opening my eyes. And this is, at the time, I didn't understand it, but I did afterwards. And the Holy Spirit spoke with the still small voice, loud and clear, don't open your eyes. And I'm like, why? And I want to see him. Well, what I learned later, he was there in his glory. And no man can look upon his glory in these earthly suits and live. So I knew that I knew that I knew, and I was obeying the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? And then I was led to take my right arm, and I threw it out in front of me, straight ahead, with my hand extended. And I said, Lord God, I know you are here. Please grab my hand, touch me so I can feel you. And I knew he was 3 feet in front of me at the end of my chair, where I was positioned as my prayer closet. 2 seconds later, his right hand grabbed and gripped mine. And I went back, and water started coming out of my eyes as I'm trying to keep him squeezed tightly. And the next thing I know, fire from his hand came into mine, hot but not burning. And it started moving past my wrist, up my forearm, around the right elbow, up into my shoulder, right into the top of my chest and under my neck. And at this point, I am just captivated by power and love. and expectancy, even though I had no clue what was going to happen next. And I've shared it like this before. It's the only way I can explain it. It was like the dams, the big dams, Hoover Dam or others. And back in the day, probably the technology may be better now, but back in the day, they had those round steel gateway, so to speak, and they would take a big bar and loosen it up. They start turning and turning and turning. And then all of a sudden, it releases the overflow. And that's what happened next. A second or two later, he released, and that fire and love and power just entered me beyond all expectation. I went even further back in the chair, and his hand was still gripping me firmly, and the scriptures came alive. The scriptures of how far, how deep, and how wide his love really was. And eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. We can't imagine what he has for us. He overwhelmed me in that love encounter, in that experience. Other people, I've heard so many other testimonies of liquid love and outpouring. And that's ultimately what it was for me. I never wanted to leave this place with him. I never wanted him to let go of my hand. And I got to be careful what I would say now, but I've wanted to trade almost everything to be back in that spot for 5 minutes, you know, and it seemed shorter than what it was, but eventually, and I think a gallon of water, probably that's an exaggeration, but a gallon of water felt like it was pouring out of my eyes during this whole thing. I was in another realm, and our earthly temples, I give witness, cannot comprehend or withstand the fullness of his love. I was just seeing a good part of it washing in through and over me. But he let me know in that how that intensity, that incredible love was for each and every one of his kids, his sheep, equal. And he loves each of us uniquely. But he's no respecter of persons, and that power, that love is waiting for each and every one of us. So this whole thing, as Diana testified, sanctification, heart condition, blocks, attacks, I've been through all of that, and then some. And some of you know, he did a massively huge physical healing with my heart. And it was proven medically December 29th, 2021. And that's on Diana's website. I had to go with that because what my testimony and witness is, that moment changed everything. The old me was gone. The walls were gone. And, you know, the amazing thing is I didn't even know about Ezekiel 36:26 yet. And so I pulled it up. Many of us will know this scripture when you hear it. If you haven't been in there, I would encourage you to read the whole chapter because it's a picture of the entire reconciliation to the house of Israel, who the father had divorced. And this whole Bible, Torah, life, instruction, A to Z, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, the whole thing is encapsulated in the greatest command and his drawing back together the lost sheep and the house of Israel. But verse 22, leading up to 26 in Ezekiel 36, but I'm going to read 22 to 28. I recommend reading the whole thing before and after, though. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. That used to be me. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Here it is. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. And, you know, I'm trying to wrap that testimony up. It's just key moment, my number one thing with God out of a number of other subsequent things from time to time. And it's not that, you know, some of us have not had visions or dreams or a visitation, so to speak, like that. But some, he can come and do this in so many ways. And it all goes back to humility. And I believe Psalm 151, the broken and contrite heart, having the conviction of that moment. So how do we have the conviction? Only through the Holy Spirit, only through his gentle nudging, or sometimes his still small voice being loud and clear and making the word, like he did that day with the man of God reading the greatest command, come alive in a rhema moment and placing it in your heart. And as he said with the scripture in Hebrews 3 that I began with, we can't harden our hearts. We can't miss the visitation, however it appears. But if we're submitted, if we're seeking him diligently, and as Diana shared, and I relate in to that too, we're naked before him. He knows every thought. He knows every word that's getting ready to come out of my mouth. He knows it all. We can't hide from him. So lay yourself naked on the altar and ask him to have your way and do what he has to do. And then hold on tight, because he's faithful. Amen. All right, Diana, I will hand it back to you for a minute.
Okay, Andrew, that was awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that amazing testimony. And we mentioned in the last episode, you know, that we'd share keys to intimacy with God, just like what I discussed a little earlier and what Andrew shared with us, how to hear from him. So today I feel like we've laid the foundation, you know, how to hear from God. And it's a heart issue. As Andrew was saying, it is a heart issue. It begins with establishing and maintaining intimacy with our God. I just say, and I know Andrew shares in this, we say, take all that we have shared here before the Lord and ask him to remove any veils that may have kept you from seeing the hindrances, snares, anything the devil might be using to trigger, you know, from past things that have happened in your life that he uses to trigger you in various ways. I don't, you know, it might cause you like certain thoughts. I'm going to bring that thought up to him or her, or, you know, and then it'll trigger you and you'll go into a depression for and be completely useless for the kingdom of God for days, you know, but things like that. It's just so broad. But yeah, ask the Lord to show you, go before him, ask him to remove any veils that may be hiding these places that you just need to ask him to shine his light into your heart and to heal, to cover in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. The Lord, he has so much to share with each one of us in that most intimate place, secret place that we talked about. That's that place of intimacy. All of our questions, you know, all these questions you're asking God and you want to know this or that, or oh, what should I do about this? Or all your questions, all your personal individual instructions. The Bible's loaded with it, but there are some things that you're going to need to know in the days ahead that might be personal instructions for you. They can only be found in that place that we're talking about, that place of intimacy. It is crucial that we go there, get there now. And there's so much more to cover. We will, God willing, continue discussing these keys to establishing intimacy in the next episode. So, Andrew, I think this is a good place for us to pause until the next time. So would you go ahead and lead us in prayer to close us out?
Amen. I'd be happy to. And as we pause, I just have to go ahead and read one more scripture that we all hopefully know. It just cements everything we've talked about. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Father, we thank you for leading and orchestrating this love and heart matter discussion regarding the key to intimacy, which is the key to everything in our walk, but especially to hearing your voice. Diana and I come together in agreement of petition with our brothers and sisters who will listen and hear your words. And we ask for you to give them a touch, to soften their hearts if there's any hard spots, to remove the walls for them as you did for us or for me, to remove any blocks and any scar tissue, to quicken our hearts into the heart of compassion so that we can pour out as available vessels for your glory alone to each and every person that you give us an opportunity and the honor and privilege to do that with, that you place in our path. That is being conformed faith to faith, glory to glory in your image. We don't want them to see or hear us. We want them to see and hear you in us. And your word says, know ye not that your temple, you are temple to the Holy Spirit. We thank you that we can, as a group, as a family of believers, a body that you're drawing together, collectively and individually, lay ourselves on the altar, have your way, do what you must do. And as David prayed in Psalm 19, at the end of that prayer, deliver us from any presumptuous sin, any secret sin, as Diana referenced, known or unknown. Your consuming fire, let it consume it all. And we know that we know that we know that if you've placed this petition or similar expression of it into our hearts and into the hearts of our brothers and sisters, we lift it up as a family to you for your faithfulness. And in expectancy, we wait. And we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your mighty and righteous right hand. We thank you for ministering angels that you will send to touch each and every one in whatever battle or fiery trial they are going through. Help us to forgive. Help us to let go. And we thank you for your faithfulness in quickening us into your word. I recommend everybody go to Psalm 119 when he leads you there next time. It's the long one. Read the whole thing. Quicken is coming into my spirit because of that. Quicken us, Father, into your mercies. Quicken us into your loving kindness. Quicken us into your statutes. Quicken us into your word. Quicken us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Until next time, God bless you all.
Blessings.